So you'll begin tonight in Ezekiel 36 as we come back to our study, A Heart Matter, as we have been through Jeremiah and looked at a chapter in detail. And now we come tonight again to Ezekiel 16. But we're going to begin with our key verse in Ezekiel 36, where we're talking about this subject of a new heart. And Ezekiel 36:26 says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." God wants to give mankind a new heart. That's His desire. He wants to give us a new heart. And we need a new heart because we have that stony heart before He gives us a new heart. So now back into our study in Ezekiel 16, we'll go through verse 14 tonight. We looked at the first five verses last week, looking at this great chapter, understanding the need for a new heart. And verses 1 through 5 reveal that nature of our heart before we have Christ. We are in a wretched condition. And when we're in that wretched condition, we looked at, we were unrighteous, we were unclean, we were uncared for, we were unclothed, we were unclaimed, and we were uncontrollable. So that's what our condition was before we got that new heart. I believe I'm ahead of you, brother, on the slides. And then so we have several things that we had of the new heart that we didn't have before we got a new heart. We were in a bad shape. You remember back and think back where you were when God found you, because He did find you. Most of us weren't looking for God. He found us. Praise the Lord, He was. If we are or were still in the state of wretchedness, there was only one destination our stony heart's going to take us. That's hell. That is death and hell and complete separation from God forever and forever and forever. That stony heart is going to take us to hell. We were, and if we still are, in that wretched condition, we are totally helpless to save ourselves. We were totally helpless to save ourselves. But that is not God's desire for man. He doesn't want us in a wretched condition. He doesn't want us to go to hell. He doesn't want us to be separated from Him. His desire is for all mankind to be saved, to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and not an Old Testament lamb, but the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ came to earth to save sinners. So you ask, who is a sinner? Everyone. Every person that's ever lived and ever will live is a sinner. But God will not force Himself on anyone. We notice Ezekiel, as we saw last week, Ezekiel is written to the children of God, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And that's mainly the tribe of Judah. The lineage of Christ comes from the tribe of Judah. It has a small gathering of Levites there and some tribe of Benjamin there as well. But mainly the inhabitants of Jerusalem are the Judeans of the tribe of Judah. And He said they needed to be saved too. But He's not going to force Himself on anyone. He will not make within every person a new heart until they are willing to submit. So tonight we come to verse 6. I gave you a sneak peek last week, looking at this thought of we were in a wretched condition without God's grace. Now we come to verse 6, and it says, "And when I passed by thee," that one that was in a wretched condition, "and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, live." In these verses, verse 6 through 9, we see the wonderful compassion of God. In these verses, we see God pictures himself as one passing by. He sees the child and stoops down to rescue it from certain death. In this picture, we can see what the Lord has done for everyone who places their faith in him. For he reached down and picked us up. For me, it was at 18 years old he picked me up. I was on a path to death, hell, total separation from God. Verse 6, in the beginning of this verse, in his wonderful compassion, while we were still in our wretched condition, he came to us. Praise the Lord. He came to us. It says, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, and I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, when thou wast polluted, when thou were wretched, when thou were unclean, I said, live. He came to us. Knowing this child's inability to come to Christ, God made the first move. Are you as grateful as I am that God knows about our wretched condition and is still willing to come to us while we're wretched? Romans 5:8, still in the Bible. Romans 5:8, but God came to us when we were wretched, when we were still in our sins, he came to us. Christ died for us while we were yet in our sins. We didn't have to clean up our act to get saved. We didn't have to get rid of our vices and addictions to get saved. We didn't have to get rid of those friends that were influencing us to do the wrong things. We just came because he came to us first with that wonderful compassion. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. So the Father has sent me, draws. The Father draws. And the Holy Spirit draws. God draws. He came to us while we were yet sinners. He encourages our hearts to know that the Lord is the one seeking us. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I remember my condition when I got saved. I was not looking for God. But thank God he was looking for me. You ever been in a pew, in a church service, in the invitation time, and you're gripping that pew in front of you so hard your knuckles turn white? It's probably because you were under conviction. Lamb of God and the Holy Spirit of God's drawing you, wooing you to Christ. He came to us. Now skip down to verse 8, you see. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. He had compassion on us. He loved us. In our wretched condition, he loved us. The Lord loved us. He saw this infant and loved it, knew instantly what needed to be done to rescue it. He knew what to do. He was capable of doing it, and he did it. Thank God, in spite of our sins and our wretched condition, God still loves us. He looked upon sinful man and saw what needed to be done, and Jesus said, I'll go. I'll go. And he paid the price for the salvation of all men. John 3:16 still says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's answer for our need was Calvary. So we see that he not only in verse 6 came to us, in verse 8 we see he had compassion on us, and back in verse 6 we see that He commands us to live, made alive, to quicken us. The Lord tells His child to live. His command is the same for us. When He comes to us in grace, we respond to Him in faith. His command to us is to live. Praise the Lord. He wants us to live, to be made alive, to quicken us. He did not save us to watch us die. He gives us everlasting life through His Son. John 6:47 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." You already have it. God takes those dead in their sins and causes them to live. Again, verse 8, it says, "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness." Oh, there is a lot here. The wonderful compassion of God covers us. God is covering this infant, and He's covering us when we come to Christ. He's covering us with Himself. I love a cool house in the winter. It reminds me of my childhood and going up into the mountains in the wintertime and working on breaks and be able to dig underneath those pile of quilts while the house is quiet and cold. I love a cool home in the wintertime, so you can pile under those covers. God covered us. The Lord stooped down and spread His skirt over this infant, thereby covering its nakedness. Remember, this is an allegory, a story that has a meaning spiritually for us. Did you know that He does this very same thing for you and me when we got saved? When we got saved, He entered into a place of shelter where we are forever covered by the Lord. What's this shelter do for us as Christians? We're safe from God's wrath. Romans 5:9 says, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." This covering from God also protects us from separation from God. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." John 10:28. Psalm 57:1 tells us we are shielded from those that want to harm us. "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." He covers us. But there's more to that verse that talks about this covering. He says, "I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee." This is talking about His claiming us. When we had that stony heart, we didn't belong to anyone. No one wanted us. But God wants us. He claims us. By this covering, He is claiming us. The spreading of the skirt was another way used to acclaim that individual as your own. Think back to the story of Ruth and Boaz. And Boaz is at the press, and he's worked all day, and now at night he's worked, and he's taking care of the crops and pulling the crops together, and I think it's in Ruth 3. And that story, Ruth comes to him at night and notices where he lays down to rest. And she curls up at his feet. Nothing inappropriate. She curls up at his feet. And it startles him, and he awakes out of a sleep, and he notices there's a woman around his feet, and He's like, "Who are you?" And Ruth says these great words for Boaz to spread his skirt over her and become her kinsman redeemer. Now, this is a total picture of Jesus Christ and what He did for us. In the Old Testament culture, when a man found a young woman that he desired to be his wife, he would spread his garment over her, saying, "I would like you to be my wife," claiming her. In Ezekiel 6, or 16, as God is through His messenger Ezekiel, He is talking to the inhabitants of Jerusalem through this allegory of this infant. And He is saying, God is saying to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, "I spread my skirt over you. I claim you as mine." When we were saved, we were also claimed by God. He adopted us into His family. And we are His forever. At one time, we were unwanted. At one time, we were uncared for. At one time, we were unclaimed. Now, we've been adopted into God's family. And He pictures that through the spreading of the skirt over the individual. The last part of verse 8 says, "And he entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and God, thou hast become us mine." He sware unto thee and entered into a covenant. So through the wonderful compassion of God, He makes a covenant with us. Now, a covenant is different from a contract. A contract can be broken. A covenant, on the other hand, is eternal, and it's binding. When we got saved, God also entered into a covenant with us. Through the Old Testament, we see covenant after covenant. We see a covenant with Moses. We see a covenant with Abraham. We see a covenant with David. Here in the New Testament, God says, "I make a covenant with you by grace." He gave us salvation that is eternal, that will never pass away. He has sealed us with His Spirit. And once we are His, we are forever His. If we could lose our salvation, then the words eternal or everlasting or forever, they would mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. But the words eternal, everlasting, forever do mean something. It means forever and eternal and everlasting. Without end, we are God's if we have accepted Him as our Savior and He has claimed us. If we can be lost, then verses like 1 Peter 1:5 should be taken out of the Bible. Let me read it for you in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." If we can lose our salvation, then that verse can't be in the Bible. How about John chapter 10 and verse 28? In John 10, 28, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." If we can lose our salvation, then that verse can't be in the Bible. And those are written in the words of red in the words of Christ. He said that. So that makes Christ a liar if we could lose our salvation. Well, we know Christ is not a liar. And we know the words forever and everlasting and eternal mean forever, everlasting, and eternal. So once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God says, "I'm going to spread my skirt over you. I claim you. I adopt you into my family. And you are mine forever." Forever. Forever. And there's no chance for anyone to pluck us out of God's hands, and we can't pluck ourselves out of God's hands. We're in. Verse 9 says, then. It's like, well, there's more? Oh, yeah. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. Oh my. If we really just had a glimpse of what God has done for us. We were unloved, uncared for, unclaimed, in a wretched state in our sin. And He came to us and loved us and had compassion on us. And for this one in this story, He takes them and He loves them and He thoroughly washes away all their iniquity and impurities. A total cleansing. What a picture. When the Lord saved our souls, He didn't whitewash us. Remember the whitewashing? You just put another coat on top of whatever else was under there. 5-6 coats have been on that fence post, and you're going to put another whitewash coat of paint on that. God didn't whitewash us. He washed us whiter than snow with hyssop. He cleansed us thoroughly from the wretchedness that we were. Every stain that sin had left in our lives was forever cleansed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I haven't finished my life yet. I'm going to sin tomorrow. I'm going to sin the next day. I'm going to sin next week. I'm going to sin next month. Every sin that we have committed and will commit were in the future when Christ died on the cross. Just like the babies that hadn't even been born yet. Jesus Christ is willing to wash them pure, white as snow. When God saved our soul, He washed us absolutely, perfectly, and purely. Because God can't do anything halfway. And He did it right. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How many sins? All sins. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Unmeasurable is what that means. In distance. You can't find them. They're gone. Micah 7:19 says, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all thy sins into the depths of the sea. If you have had that stony heart replaced with a new heart by accepting Christ as your Savior, you no longer have a stony heart. You have a new heart. You've been made a new creature. And so when He says that I've washed you, those sins are gone. When we stand before Christ, we're not going to be judged for our sin if we're in Christ. They're forgiven. They're forgotten. They're behind God's back. They're in the depths of the sea. They're far as east is from the west. But God is basically saying they're not to be found. They're gone. Because when I look at you as a Christian, I don't look at you as a sinner. What I'm looking at is I'm looking at Christ in you. And we know Christ is perfect. So it goes on in verse 9. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. I anointed thee with oil. Oh, there's a lot here. Again. The Lord is pictured as anointing this one with oil. Now, there's two meanings to this. First, oil in the Old Testament was used as a medicine. So what He is doing is He's saying, I'm going to cure you of all your ailments that afflict you. But in a spiritual sense, He is showing us the same thing. For when the Lord saved our souls, He cured us of a stony heart. We had a heart transplant by the best cardiologist and transplant team ever. God Himself, our Creator. When we got saved, we were healed from the curse of our sin natures and were made new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But that's not all this verse means. When it says in verse 9 that He anointed thee with oil, He consecrated us. Oil in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord saved us, He put His Spirit within us. Romans 8, 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. At the moment of salvation, we become the living temples of God. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 1 Corinthians 3:17. Therefore, we should live a life with this new heart that glorifies God. But it doesn't stop there. We were in a wretched condition. We see the wonderful compassion of God, but we also see a wondrous change. Notice verse 10. If that wasn't enough, God says, I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. A wondrous change is taking place. We have been clothed when we come to Christ and get a new heart. This verse in verse 10 tells us that the Lord clothed His chosen with the finest of garments, representing His glory and His beauty. He has done the same for us. All we can see right now is this outward appearance. Our flesh, our bodies, the clothes that our human eyes can see. But if we could see us as God sees us, we would see that every child of God has been gloriously clothed by God. Because we're in Christ. At the moment of salvation, we were clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not too shabby. Verse 11 through 14 talks about also this wondrous change that we have been made comely or beautiful. This verse describes all the things God gave this individual and blessed them with them to make them look the best they possibly could. He took this individual and changed them completely, made their life a thing of great beauty. And He does that for us as well by saving us and blessing us and changing us and gifting us and using us. He has made us far better than we ever could have been otherwise. Just think back. Maybe your life wasn't like mine, but I was on a bad path. And without Christ in my path, I wouldn't have had the same outcome. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have gone to heaven, but I wouldn't have had the same life. God gave me a wonderful wife, two beautiful kids. He gave us a church family that loves us. He gave us a home and the ability to breathe and live and have a life that just has been a glorious life. My wife and I were talking just the other day and was sort of reminiscing about everywhere we've ever lived and everywhere we've ever been. And we've moved like 35 times. Most of that was our early years. We were moving all over the place and we lived in many states and been able to be with Christians all over the country and been able to travel all over the world. And God has really been very good to us. But that would not have happened with a stony heart. Life would have been different. The outcome of my life would have been very different. But the path I was on, I probably wouldn't have lived much longer. Reckless, reckless. But He changed that by transplanting my heart with a new heart. And He's found the same thing for you. When God saves our soul, it is the greatest miracle that He can ever perform on us. He comes in and a drastic change takes place. Before I had a new heart, church was the last place I wanted to be. Grew up in a good home, a moral home, but not a Christian home. We went to church in my much younger years, elementary age, we went to church every Sunday, Anglican church. Well, as we got older, junior high, even before then, we went Easter and Christmas. And then it came to the point where, do you want to go? No. Okay. It was never forced. So by the time I met my wife, we didn't go to church. Church was the last place I wanted to be. Full of rituals and I remember making my wife go to my church when we were dating. And afterwards I asked her how it was, and she's like, it was a lot of sitting, standing, kneeling. Standing, sitting, kneeling. Standing, sitting, kneeling. That's all she remembered from the whole service. And really, that's what it was. Standing, sitting, kneeling. When God comes in and gives us a new heart, oh my, what a change. It's a wondrous change. Verse 12, at the end of verse 12, it says, He put a beautiful crown upon their head. We have been crowned. He takes this individual and makes them royalty. He blessed them and raised them up to a place of recognition and of honor. He literally crowned their life with His glory. He has done that for His saints also, for us. He saved us by His grace and has promised to be with us all along the way. Until we get home, we'll be with Him forever. Oh my, and then we'll be able to give some crowns back to Him, prayfully. So lastly, let's look at verse 14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. He wraps it all up in these 14 verses and he says, you've been changed. You've been changed. The Lord tells this one there, there had been a day when no one cared for you, no one wanted anything to do with you, but when I came by, I made a difference. And now, you've been changed. What a picture that the Lord has done for us. When He found us, we weren't very lovely. But He loved us. He cared for us. He wanted to adopt us. When He came to us, He changed us by His great power and made us new creatures through His grace by giving us this new heart. Now we are different. We are changed. Others look upon us. What got into you? What happened to you? Where have you been? The best answer we can give them? God changed me. He gave me a new heart. You know, some of those that you used to hang out with, and so some of those that know you today, but they're not Christians, you know, they envy you. They envy your life. They envy the peace that you have and the joy that you have. They're not going to say that, but they do. But they can have it too. They can have the same thing that we have, because God doesn't have a limit on how many He's willing to adopt. He said, "My house is big, and there's still room for everyone that wants to come." You know, the Lord's gathered a bunch of unwanted, unloved people and saved them by His grace and set them on display. And He's showing the world, this is what grace can do. I don't know where this message finds you. There's a lot here. I've gone through it quickly because there was a lot to cover. You may be like this baby, this infant that's been cast away and left to die. You may feel unloved and uncared for and unwanted today. But let me encourage you. Jesus loves you. God wants to adopt you. And Fellowship Baptist Church loves you and prays that you'll accept His wonderful gift of salvation. He loves you so much that He was willing to go to a cross and die for your sins if you'll only come to Him and ask Him to save your soul. He will. But saints of God, if I had continued reading this chapter, and there's a lot in this chapter, but it's not part of our series. But if we had continued reading, we will see that the inhabitants of Jerusalem, which are the children of God, take God's blessings and despise them. It says in verse 15, they played the harlot against God. That is, they ran after and served other gods. Some of us have done the same thing. Oh, we're saved and it can't be lost. But we're not living the way God wants us to live. He's changed us. And we've gone back to like it was when we had a stony heart. If your heart, in your heart, if you know that you are cold about the things of God, then you're not where you need to be. So I invite you as well, just as a sinner. God saves the sinner, but He also restores the saints. He will forgive over and over and over again. He's not the God of second chances. He's the God of multiple chances. Some may be just glad that you're saved, and that's sort of sad, I have to say. It may have been a while since you bowed before the Lord for no other reason than to say simply, "Lord, I love You. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for changing me." Whatever the need, there's help and hope in Jesus Christ. Won't you come to Him? Won't you ask Him to help you? Let's all stand together with heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's just, there in our quietness of our pew for just a moment. If you don't know that you have a new heart and you'd like to know that, please come and see me or get a hold of someone before you leave this place this night so we can show you how you can have that new heart. But child of God, also for you tonight, there's hope in Christ and there's help in Christ. How long has it been since you've been to the Lord and say, "Thank You for changing me. Thank You for taking me off the path that I was on. Thank You for my salvation. Thank You for the one that told me about Jesus Christ." and help me to become a child of God. Whatever your need, there in your pew, or you may come to the altar, it's open as well, but whatever your need is, won't you come and ask the Lord to save you or to restore you? While we pray.
Father, thank you for being our friend. Oh, you're so much more than that, though. Thank you for being our God, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Protection, our High Tower. Words don't do it justice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for changing my life and the path that I was on. And I pray, Lord, that that is the echo of everyone here, the sound of my voice tonight, that we may say, thank you for changing my life. Giving me a new heart. And for those that don't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that you would continue to draw them, convict them, come to them and show them their need to remove that stony heart and to give them that new heart and all that goes with it. You're so lovely. You're so good. You're so amazing that you love us. And yet you know us so well. Bless, I pray, your people, I pray tonight. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen.